And welcome back to Afternoons on News Talk 770. Before we get into our night, we'll share a few more of them with you. But we are going to end the day with talking about an historic event in history. I think I set it up earlier by saying how ironic I find it that it looks like tensions between Russia and America are increasing once again over the issue of Syria and the Assad regime. Just at a time when we're celebrating the 25th anniversary of the reunification of East and West Germany, I have Jeremy Hexham in studio to talk with me about this. He is a graduate student at the University of Calgary in political science, a doctoral student, and he joins me now in studio. Thanks for being here, Jeremy.
Thank you, Danielle. Now, Danielle, a couple weeks ago on your show, you had to eat some bugs live on air.
You're not going to make me eat bugs again, are you?
No, I brought you a German dessert,
Bienenstück,
from Edelweiss. Sonia down at Edelweiss makes Bienenstück. It's a German pastry to help you celebrate the 25th anniversary tomorrow.
This looks very festive and very delicious. It almost looks like a tiramisu. It's got two layers of sponge cake, beautiful cream in the middle, and it looks like it's got some kind of nuts on top.
It's almonds, pastries, custard type thing, and it's a lot better than tiramisu. Don't tell that to anybody who likes tiramisu.
Better than tiramisu. Better say the name of it again so others can go and try to find some to be able to enjoy the weekend on it as well.
It's Bienenstück.
Bienenstück.
Sting of the bee.
All right. Now, I want to start this off by let's first visit a song that has become iconic to Eastern German youths because of reunification events that happened 25 years ago. Let's play it right now. Go ahead, Tim.
One morning in June, some 20 years ago, I was born a rich man's son. I had everything that money could buy, but freedom I had none. I've been looking for freedom.
Hey, I love this song. Looking for Freedom. And who is the artist? I don't think people are going to be able to believe it.
It is David Hasselhoff. Yes, that David Hasselhoff from Knight Rider and Baywatch.
And so what is the tells the story of that song?
Well, what people don't realize is he is a musician, and he's incredibly well-liked in Europe, in Germany specifically. And as my German friends all say, they just don't understand that part of it. But he recorded this song in 1989, and in that summer it was on the German top lists, or top of the charts, for 8 weeks. And so a lot of East Germans were hearing this song. Now, we talk, you know, a lot today about copyright and all that. In Germany, they actually would play songs with no interruptions near the border so that West-East youth would actually record these songs and then pass them around to people. David Hasselhoff, this song, Looking for Freedom, sort of became the anthem of a lot of East German youth, and he was actually invited to perform on the Berlin Wall December 31st, 1989. To this point in history, he was the only performer who's been allowed to perform on the Berlin Wall, and I would encourage people, if they actually want to see this video and believe it's true, to actually Google or YouTube David Hasselhoff on the Berlin Wall. By the way, I should mention that according to AOL Radio, it was ranked as the 98th worst song ever.
Unbelievable. So there is the divide right there between East and West. It becomes a cult classic in East Germany, probably not so much in West Germany. But let's talk about the division that happened of Germany. They were apart for 41 years. Tell us some of the events that led up to that, and then we will talk about what happened with the reunification.
Well, exactly. 1945, May 8th, Russian troops enter Berlin. Second World War ends. May 29th, German communists return to Berlin. They're led by a guy called Walter Ulbricht, who eventually becomes the leader of East Germany. And July 16th to August 2nd, Germany is divided into the four sectors, the French, the British, the American, and the Russian sector. Now, on June 28th, Churchill is replaced by Attlee as Prime Minister because of the election. Then, in 1948, things get a little exciting, this currency reform, Berlin is divided into two currencies, the West German currency and the East German currency, or the Russian currency. On June 25th, the Berlin airlift begins, where the Russians try to strangle out Berlin. Now, there's a great quote I want to read you, and it's been attributed to a lot of people. It says, he who controls Berlin controls Germany, and he who controls Germany controls Europe. Now, I've tried to track this back. It's been quoted as being Karl Marx. It's been quoted as Lenin. Kenneth Burke makes reference to it. So I'm not sure who actually said it. But in that time period, it was quite important that people thought Berlin was still an important city. And so there was that division, and the West wanted to save Berlin as much as possible because they saw potential in it.
Yeah.
Then October...
But let me ask you this. Who actually does control Berlin from a hearts and minds point of view?
Back then?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the Russians. Well, the Russians controlled Berlin. Berlin was just a puppet state, as we all know. The Kremlin controlled it. And in fact, this is one of the problems that the later East German leader, Erich Honecker, had, was that he couldn't do anything. He couldn't travel outside of Berlin or outside of East Germany without the Russians' permission, and he was really upset about that.
But it is one thing to have political control and another thing to have popular support.
Yes, and nobody really knew. This is part of the problems with why the Berlin Wall went up. I mean, you had this blockade, which ended on the 30th, and October 7th, 1949, East Germany came into an existence. And there's a reason why we're celebrating reunification on October 3rd, because in 1989, October 7th was the 40th anniversary of East Germany. It didn't survive.
Wow.
July 25th, Ulbricht becomes the leader of East Germany. 53, Stalin dies, and things start happening. Khrushchev wants Berlin to become more self-sufficient. People are complaining. People are leaving East Germany because they realize the West is where they want to be. And so they're escaping. And Ulbricht appoints a guy called Erich Honecker to become the Central Committee Secretary for Security Matters.
Yep.
And his job was to secretly get supplies so that they could build a wall to block off East Germany from West. Now, this is going back to 1958.
Yeah.
And in 1961, on June 15th, Ulbricht says, well, nobody has any intention of building a wall. We're not going to do it. But sometime in August 1961, the Russians give them permission. And there's some historical arguments whether Ulbricht was pushing for it or if it was Khrushchev who said we need to do it.
But so the question is, was the argument being made at the time for when the wall began to be constructed, was it to keep the West out, or was it to keep the Eastern residents in?
Oh, no, Danielle. It was built to be the anti-fascist protection barrier. We didn't want those fascists from West Germany and NATO to get involved. We wanted to protect our place. And, as Holger Herwig at the university once said, it was very effective. No one ever tried to break into East Germany.
Well, and this is, I guess, the great question is, how did we end up getting to a point where it managed to stay there so long? If Eastern Germans were leaving prior to 1961, it's actually kind of amazing that it lasted as long as it did.
Well, the Berlin Wall went up in 24 hours. It was just done that fast. People don't realize it was when Moscow finally gave permission, it went up. They closed everything down at 12 o'clock. Trams, you were stuck no matter what. They put it up, and it was a barbed wire, and then eventually became a barricade. So it was up in no time.
Wow.
And you've got to realize a lot of other things were going on in East Germany. The tensions were mounting. As Khrushchev once said about Berlin, he said, Berlin is the testicles of the West. When I want the West to scream, I squeeze Berlin. And you start to see that in 1962 when you have the first spy exchange between Colonel Rudolf Abel, who was a spy in the States, and the pilot Gary Powers, who was a pilot of a U-2 plane who'd been shot down over Moscow taking photographs. And there's a movie coming out October 16th called Bridge of Spies, which is all about this event and leading to the Bridge of Spies in East Germany. And this was sort of the height of the Cold War.
It sounds like it was ground zero in the war between the West and the Soviet Union. I do have to take a quick break, but we will be back in a couple of minutes talking about German reunification and talking about how the factors that ultimately led to that wall being torn down. Stay with us on News Talk 770.
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply.
And welcome back to Afternoons on News Talk 770. In case you need an outside testimonial, Tim just told me that Bienensteak is the best dessert he's ever had. So in honor of the reunification this weekend, you should go and try to find yourself some. The thing that I'm speaking with Jeremy Hexham, who's a doctoral student at the University of Calgary, about German reunification, he just informed me that the wall went up in literally one day, August 13th, 1961. So came as a surprise, it sounds like, to a lot of the population. But what happened from there? Because there was already tensions happening in East Germany. How is it that it took so long for the wall to come down?
Well, in Germany's case, it's 24 hours. Everything was shut down at midnight. Wires went up. You were stuck. You had the Stasi, the secret police, which were just ruthless. And they had spies everywhere. Everyone spies on everyone. If you've seen the movie The Lives of Others, it just shows how much it is. A lot of documents got shredded when the wall fell. And they're still fixing those documents and putting them together. And people are learning how their friends, their family spied on each other to the Stasi because they were all so scared.
Yeah.
And then 1971, Erich Honecker, who built the Berlin Wall and becomes the general secretary because he kicks out Walter Ehrbrich, basically.
Was that a popular move, or was that because he was the hand of the Soviet Union? Was it a political appointment?
It was a bit of everything. The Soviets were getting a little upset with him. He was aging, and so he just did an overthrow, which is what happened to Erich Honecker in 1989 by Egon Krensk. Then 1982, something very important happens. There starts being a church meeting at the Nikolai Church in Leipzig. The Stasi didn't believe in spying on churches. They didn't think it was important. And this church started meeting every Monday night till 1989. And that's where the protests that happened in 1989 came out of.
But before that, there was a really important event that happened in 1987.
In 1987, June 2nd, Ronald Reagan goes to Berlin and...
And he says this. Tim?
General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
And everybody remembers that vital moment in history.
The funny thing is, it wasn't picked up. Only CNN picked it up. Nobody paid any attention to it until 1989. And that's the speech Reagan's most famous for. Then you have these events in 1989, and you start in the summer. People start escaping from East Germany, and there's lots of protests. I mean, September 4th or September 9th, you had 70,000 people protesting East Germany. October 7th is the 40th anniversary of East Germany, and they're having big celebrations, and people are upset. They're yelling. They're just unhappy.
In our last couple of minutes, though, let's talk about what today looks like.
Yes.
So we think 25 years later, reunification has occurred. You must see that there wouldn't be much of a cultural difference between East and West. What do we actually see 25 years later?
50% of Germans think there's still that more divides the East than the West. People under the age of 30, there was about 19 million of them, about one-third, that were born in the last 25 years, and they don't see the same divide. So we're seeing this new generation who are accepting things. But, you know, 73% of Germans think reunification has been an overall success. But that's 76% in West Germany, 66% in East Germany.
So less support in East Germany, and yet
yes.
Merkel is an East German, so you would have expected that it would be reversed. Why has she been able to be so successful as chancellor?
Well, a lot of West Germans think she's an East German, and a lot of East Germans think she's a West German, and nobody understands Angela Merkel, and she's very tight-lipped. I think she's doing a wonderful job. I love Angela Merkel. But people don't understand her. I don't think anyone does. But she's just got this popularity because she can bring people together. I mean, she brings unity. And that's why, I mean, this last German election 2 years ago, she came the closest to forming a majority government in the history of the United Germany.
She's using her popularity to be able to try to get a German consensus around the issue of accepting more migrants and refugees from Syria. They've been incredible.
Yeah.
A huge number of individuals have come into Germany. How is that being received? Is there again a divide between West and East on how that move is perceived?
50% of East Germans don't want these immigrants, but that's where all the space is. That's where the abandoned military bases are. East Germans have been treated very unfairly by the West, or they think there has been. Even if we look at sports, soccer, there is not a single team in the two major soccer leagues that are from East Germany, with the exception of Berlin. There are no head offices anywhere in the, what was the East Germany, with the exception of Berlin. So you've got all these immigrants that are coming in. They're already there's already high unemployment. People are upset. These immigrants are coming in. 73% of West Germans are willing to accept immigrants. 50% are not.
But it's not coming into their community, as you're saying, in West Germany.
And so the NPD, the far right, is actually doing really well because there's this dissatisfaction with all these immigrants coming in.
Any danger that you'd ever see another divided Germany as a result of these tensions?
I think, you know, with the new generation, it's happening fine. But I think it's something we also have to look at when other countries talk about division and separation. How do they come together? What happens with North Korea and South Korea if that ever happens?
Last word, what are you doing this weekend to celebrate?
I'm going to be eating beanstick.
And I highly recommend it. Thanks so much, Jeremy, for being with us today. For the history lesson, Jeremy Haxham is a doctoral student at the University of Calgary. A couple more minutes, come back, and we'll close the week on Afternoons on News Talk 770. Back after this.
Looking for freedom.
Welcome back to Afternoons on News Talk 770. Yes, that's David Hasselhoff. I don't know about the Germans' taste in music, but I can affirm they've got great taste in dessert. This beanstick is fantastic. I'm going to gain 20 pounds in this job. People keep bringing me stuff to eat. It's great. It's one of the perks of the job. Let me finish by talking about something a little more serious. Reading off this comment from one of our listeners on the Kenny versus Nenshi debate. It's not who's right or wrong, but the conversation that is bringing to light the elephant in the room and this point. Muslims and their Islamic faith for challenging our Canadian laws. And no other religion is forcing Western civilization to change our laws and values. Multiculturalism needs to be restructured. Now Muslims are within our borders and wanting to be our culture. There you go. I'll let Laura have the last word on that. Thanks again for spending a little bit of your time with me this week. We will be back again on Monday for Afternoons on News Talk 770.